Ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley, welcome to a Spark in the Dream special, part one here at Banks Law on a beautiful day here in the spring of in the Delaware Valley. We have the mock trial team of Lincoln High School, and of course, we have a great panel of attorneys and doctors. I want to welcome in Dr. Bruce Grossinger. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Great to be here. Love Sparking the Dream. We've met some great students, and these two, we got Jacob and William here, and we know they're going to be arguing in front of the Supreme Court in about 10 years. Right. I got a good feeling about it.
Absolutely. Well, you got a lot. That's some high, expectations there. We're going to bring Jimmy Chong in just a minute. Sonny Banks, how are you, sir?
Good, Joe.
It's good to be here. We appreciate the hospitality.
Oh, no problem. You're always welcome.
Rachel Newman, the teacher and the coach of the mock trial team at Lincoln High School. How are you? Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you. I'm doing great. How are you today?
Fantastic. It's good to have you back on the show. Let's start with you and talk about mock trial. For our listeners that may not know a lot about it, can you kind of describe it and what the mock trial team is and what the and the competitions?
Absolutely. It's a trial advocacy contest. Every year, the Young Lawyers Division of the Pennsylvania Bar Association puts together a trial, either a civil or a criminal case, based off of a real case. And they give us three witnesses on each side and a couple of juicy issues and just enough information that the case could go either way. And then they set the students loose in early November to prepare. We have to prepare both sides of the case, no matter what it is. It's going to be a trial in the trial level court. It's not appeals, which is what moot court is when you're in college or law school. And they learn how to prepare opening and closing arguments. They learn basic evidence law so that they can make objections and then defend them. And they learn how to prepare their witnesses.
And you're an attorney yourself, and so you're obviously, how do you coach young people? I've been doing these radio shows for a long time, and as a layperson, I get the opportunity to to understand the principles. But this is a whole different level. How do you educate? What is coaching the team and educating them like? Because you have bright students, but they're new to this.
Mostly, I find that it's about keeping them on task. When we get these packets, they're huge. And so, first of all, you have to assure them that they can get through it all. And they're not going to have to get through it all in one day. And then you just show them how to break it apart, what all the different parts are. I usually start with the actual basic summary of what's going on. And then we look at the jury charge, because that will tell you what the issues are going to be.
Okay, and so having said that, you have to put together different roles, right? In other words, how do you so that you have a number of students? How many students in the program?
It changes all the time. So I have a class that's meant to be part of the mock trial team, and then I have an after school club.
Okay, and so how do you pick? So what roles are available for students?
There are three attorney roles and three witness roles for each side, and then at least two timekeepers.
Okay, so when you say attorney roles, you're talking about the plaintiff representing the plaintiff and the defense?
That's correct. You're supposed to take three attorneys for each side.
Oh, okay.
So that each attorney does one direct examination and one cross-examination.
Okay. And then the witnesses, right? You have witnesses testifying and all that?
That's correct.
Okay. So how do you pick, it's basically,
Yeah, how do you divvy up the sides?
Well, see, the thing is that they're laughing because we've had to do a lot of last-minute scrambling for witnesses in the last couple of years. My team has been very small. But the fun thing is that because we have to be prepared to do both sides, we can work with a smaller number of students, even though we have to have the six individual students who are going to be the six witnesses. We can have only three students playing the lawyer roles for both sides because they're never competing at the same time.
Makes sense.
So let me segue a little bit, because you've set that up nicely. Sonny, if you would introduce yourself Banks Law.
Sure. As you indicated, Joe, my name is Sonny Banks. I'm the owner of Banks Law. We've been in business since 2013, and we focus on disability law. So we do Pennsylvania workers' compensation practice. We do Social Security disability. We do veterans benefits and short-term and long-term disability.
Okay, and Dr. Bruce Grossinger, what's interesting, okay, so Denise Magasich has been, Dr. Bruce has been on several broadcasts, and she's always asking if Dr. Bruce can do the broadcast, because you play a role in these situations. You represent, you treat injured workers and injury victims, and as a medical professional, you can be and are a key figure in proving somebody's injury. Before you elaborate on that, let everybody know a little bit about yourself and the practice.
Sure. So I've been in practice for about 30 years. I treat people with orthopedic and neurological injuries. And a lot of people are represented by Mr. Banks or Mr. Chong. I know them both very well. So you could see that this is a very professional operation. What happens is people get hurt. They don't know where to go. They'll go to Sonny Banks here, and he will tell them what their rights are. And there are a lot of rights that people don't realize. You have a right to medical treatment when you get hurt here in the Commonwealth. What I do is I call balls and strikes. We talked about baseball earlier. I just, somebody comes in, we sit face-to-face, we examine them. Sometimes they need tests like MRIs, EMGs. A lot of people need therapy. I send them out. We just try to get people better. But along the way, some people can't work. So then there's a disability component. And Mr. Banks is very helpful, not only with workers' comp, but short and long-term disability, so that these people, they have families, and they need a source of cash flow. And sometimes when people fall off scaffolds, like Mr. Doherty was hanging off buildings, welding, and doing all that as an iron worker.
Which, by the way,
in his prior life.
I noticed skyline from the other side of the window, but it's more comfortable.
So some of these people get catastrophic injuries, and they need to be provided in their provisions in the law for them to have disability, short and long term. And that's where I get to interface with Mr. Banks and with Mr. Chong. There's a lot of highways in this town, if you haven't noticed, and a lot of crazy drivers too. So that combination means that good, nice people get involved in car accidents. And I see the kind of care that Mr. Chong and his associates give. So people are just at wit's end. They're at their lowest point. They're injured. And Mr. Chong and Chong Law, they provide clarity. And what I do is I just take care of them as a doctor. And I write very detailed notes. And I understand my notes are at times used in a legal setting.
And it's part of the process when it comes to an injury case. I'll bring in Jimmy Chong, obviously. The medical records are important. Jimmy, if you would, before we get into that, a little bit about yourself and the firm.
Great. Thank you, Joe, and thank you for having me. And it's a pleasure to meet the students, and Rachel's pleasure meeting you. Always an honor to sit here with the sports doc, Dr. Grossinger, and Sonny Banks' beautiful office here. So I do plaintiff personal injury work. So it's a little different than what Sonny does, is we both handle injured, we advise and represent injured individuals. However, I do it in a different sense, in that it's when they're hurt by a third party. That could be in a car accident. That could be in a slip and fall. That could be an injury. If you're out on some premises where, someone else injures you, there's a negligent security. There's a lot of different things. And I've worked with both Sonny and Dr. Grossinger on many cases before. If I have a work comp case, I don't handle that, and I will give Sonny a call. And Dr. Grossinger, he's done marvelous jobs advocating for my clients. And that's really very important, because we have to really show how these injuries have impacted our clients' lives. And the way we do that is bringing in a doctor that has the ability to decipher the medical records, create medical records, also decipher any of the films, really talking to the client and getting to know how the injury is affecting them, because there's just so many things out there that I'm just amazed how the doctors do it. It's just amazing.
What's interesting about it is, and this is, I'm in a lot of ways the students. I'm more on par with you guys because the professionals, including your teacher Rachel Newman, they understand the idiosyncrasies of the law and all those things. One of the things that as a regular layperson, you learn that you shouldn't really need a lawyer. I mean, they have insurance. It's the God's honest truth. You get injured on the job, you would think you could just call and say, look, by the way, I have several witnesses standing right here. I just, fell off the scaffolding, right? If it's a catastrophic injury, the truth is, and Dr. Grosser, you mentioned, I was an iron worker. So we built, see the guys putting the beams up and all that? I did that for 20 years. My dad ran the union. My whole family's in it and all. We didn't get injured, we don't, in a simple way. I have plenty of friends that didn't make it, okay? And I don't, after their injury. But you would think that after somebody takes gets badly injured on a job, that the insurance company, they require the company to have the insurance, okay? And if you don't have workers' compensation insurance and you own a company, somebody gets hurt, that goes to the attorney general. But when you go to use it, the working people, then they push back hard. And why would you know? You just got injured. All of a sudden, you're not paying your benefits and all that. So many people, their only recourse, if they're trying to do it themselves, is to have an attorney. Now, when it comes to an auto accident, like Jimmy's talking about, or a slip and fall, or that's a negligence case. When it comes to workers' comp, you could take a hammer accidentally and hit yourself and break your hand. It doesn't matter. You still are eligible for workers' comp. Okay, but if somebody else hits you with the hammer from another company, so somebody's swinging it and it comes out and hits you, that is, that's a negligence. That's Jimmy Chong. But when it comes to the doctors, the really crazy thing is not every doctor will treat somebody who was injured on the job.
Exactly.
Not every doctor will treat somebody. You could go to your family doctor that you've been seeing for 10 years. In your case, fellas.
In your case, 40 years.
40 years. I was just going to say that.
They're old souls.
But they are old souls. But what I'm saying is, and then as soon as you tell them you got injured on the job or somebody hit you and it was somebody else's fault, they may say, I can't treat you. So it's important to have a doctor like Dr. Grosser. But not just that. They have to be willing to testify to their findings. Sonny, you wanted to...
Yeah, I mean, there are some medical facilities that actually have their patients sign a statement before they'll treat them. That if your injury was a result of a legal issue, we will not participate in that litigation.
And why is that? But Dr. Grosser, maybe you could...
I see that in so-called academic centers. So there's a lot of people... The fact of the matter is there's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of stuff that has to be done. So when I treat somebody who's injured, I'm not just treating them. I'm treating their spouse, indirectly treating their kids. I'm trying to document precisely what their injuries are. So it's kind of like detective work in medicine, which I gravitated to. So somebody fell off a scaffold. They might have fallen, and they landed on their arm. They have neck and back pain. They might have been knocked out. And so I've got to deal with the brain injury, just the way when I deal with the Eagles. I remember Deshaun Lightning Jackson. He actually had a concussion but was still able to run. So everything is a degree of grade, subtleties, just like in the law. And so we have to hash out on the first day, what are the symptoms? Then we have to order tests. We send them for therapy. And we also have to fill a lot of forms. We have to interface with the representative. And we have to digitize everything. And we have to make sure that Mr. Banks immediately gets a copy of our note so he can advocate for them properly. He is there. And a lot of times there are a lot of hurdles. So some doctors, they just want to sit in the ivory tower. They don't want to fill out any forms. They don't want to talk to patients. They don't want to answer questions. You go to some doctors, they're looking down in the keyboard. They don't even make eye contact with you. That's what's wrong with medicine. I do things old school. I've got an old dictaphone from like 1940. No, maybe I'm exaggerating. So I dictate everything, every word. A lot of people, everything's on templates. You've seen that. So somebody comes in, you hit one button, boom, and it's done. But that's not good medicine. So I think going a little bit old school as you are with your Yankees hat, I think, and we're going to pick on you a little bit. But in any event, but going old school and just taking care of people and being there for families and being there in the, indirectly, if you help somebody with their livelihood, help them get on their feet, back to work, you're helping their family. You're helping the kids your age.
And it's interesting because you would assume that it's a doctor's responsibility to help their patient with a legal matter because, you know, it's part of the treatment regime.
You think it's part of Hippocrates? We took an oath, okay, to do no harm. And the opposite of doing no harm is actually helping people. And that's why I went into it. And even I've been doing this 30 years. When I go to my office today, I'm charged up. And people are in pain. Some of these people are literally suicidal. That's how depressed they are. So you know what I do? I got the music blaring. I'm dancing, as you can see. Not very well. But the fact is, if you could cheer people up and you could let them know there's hope. So a lot of people, they lose. We put a neon sign. It's called hope. We give people hope, and we encourage them. We tell them. We never tell people, I deal with pain all day long. I never say, get out of here. You have to live with your pain. I don't care what I have to do, whether I have to do acupuncture. What I have to, and we do everything in our practice. We don't get them hooked on dangerous drugs. We do everything natural, and we try not to cut them. So when they come in, we say, we're going to get you better without surgery, without dangerous drugs. Nobody tells them that.
Yeah,
and that's what we do.
Same thing with a legal matter. I mean, do you imagine if your doctor told you to your face, I'm not going to get involved in your lawsuit?
I don't care. Like, I cared about you a minute ago, but now I figure I've got to fill out a one-page form. I'm out of here. So that doesn't make you feel very special.
Let's do this. Let's take a little break. We're going to pay some bills, and then we're going to come back with Jacob, Jeanette, and William Ortiz. Okay, they're going to go each do a segment. Obviously, we want to thank teacher and mock trial team coach Rachel Newman, you know, for making this happen today. We're going to have more from our Spark and Dream special on WWDB Talk 860 in just a minute.
This place has a pulse. You hear it in the canopy, feel it in the ground. Life, fully illuminated, engulfs you. From the birds singing in the treetops above to the tiniest insects in the soil below, you take a deep, cleansing breath, filling your lungs with the essence of the forest. Now, imagine it's all gone. Healthy, life-giving forests reduced to nothing. No singing birds, no lush canopy, and water and food in short supply around the world. Time is running out to protect our forests, and without our love, they can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our forests. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.
First Responders Children's Foundation takes care of the children and families the brave ones leave at home. Help us help them. These are the beautiful voices of police officers, firefighters, nurses, and teenagers who remind us that we can come together and create harmony and unity. Brave to 24365 to learn how you can help your first responder community today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to our Spark in the Dream special here at Banks Law. I want to thank Dr. Bruce Grossinger for being on the panel. Of course, Sonny Banks for being on the panel and being the host. And, of course, teacher Rachel Newman and Jimmy Chong, attorney Jimmy Chong, who's also joining us on the panel. So let's welcome into the program a student, Jacob Jeanette. Jacob, welcome to the show. I know you were on the last time. Ratings were so high, I think we said, we got to get those guys back.
You know what you did?
William was on
Jacob,
also.
Jacob, you know what you did? You broke the internet. I thought Taylor Swift broke the internet. You broke the internet.
And the airwave. So if you would, a little bit about yourself, what school you go to, and you know, let our listeners know who we're speaking with.
Yeah, my name is Jacob Jeanette. I go to Abraham Lincoln High School. I kind of just started the mock trial thing at first it was kind of an emergency thing. They needed a witness, and I was like, why not? Just go for it. And then I kind of just locked in on it. So the idea was I was supposed to be the bartender or whatever, right? And I had to explain.
At the scene of a crime or something? Okay.
So it wasn't at the scene of a crime, so I had to be, like, eyewitness testimony of another person.
Okay.
Because he was, like, yeah, and he was, like, he was talking to me that he did this, and this, and I had, like, mind you, the person is drunk, and I'm a former drunk as myself as the witness.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny when you're a witness, because it's, like, as a witness, you also kind of have to, like, sell the part. So now I have to be this, like, 40-year-old drunk bartender. So it's
by the way, I just so you know how real that is, and this is going to – Sonny knows where I'm going with this. I owned a nightclub for 14 years in Center City, okay? I know exactly the guy you're playing.
In fact, that guy was on his payroll. Right.
His name was Mike McDonald. No, I don't want to say it. But no, it's and let me say something interesting about this. By the way, this show just took a whole nother level, right? You talk about dram shop and all those things. As the owner of that facility, because you now work for me, I want to know where you were the other day when you didn't come to the meeting. No, I'm just kidding. but Jimmy Chong, who is I know represented individuals in such cases, mm-hmm. What'll end up happening would be that somebody gets served. You know, that was visibly intoxicated and all those things. And that's a dram shop case. I ended up, we didn't have one of them, I don't think, but I've done a lot of testimony on behalf of our nightclub. So it's a very interesting, you know, character that you're playing. So go ahead, proceed. You know, definitely tell us more.
So like, so when you're up there, you definitely have to sell the part. And I think that the problem that we first had, like, beginning was, like, when they'd ask us questions, instead of, like, elaborating, they give, like, yes, no, yes. I thought that was a problem. I was like, all right, let me get out there. And I had, like, I had got best witness. So I was genuinely happy for that because it was my first time. It was, like, it felt weird.
You play a really good drunk?
Yeah.
Well, he was a bartender.
Never mind.
Nobody's a drunk bartender.
Oh, never mind. A good drunk bartender. No, so when you're not bartending, you're at the AA meetings?
No.
Yeah.
So, we're talking about the character.
Okay, yeah, never yeah. mind. Never yeah. mind. Yeah.
So, when you're going to, you, earlier when we were talking, you talked about law and order and your interest in law. So how did that develop, and did that coincide with being a character witness,
right?
Yeah.
I think for me, like, growing up, whenever I wasn't watching, like, SpongeBob or something, I was watching Law and Order. I don't know. It was like it was just on TV, and it was what I was watching. And so, I'd be genuinely intrigued, and sometimes I tried to figure out the case before they actually finished it, and I'd be like, "He did it."
Yeah.
Or he did, like, that was always me. Sometimes I get it wrong, or sometimes I get it right, and I guess I kind of just like. It just, like, hit a spark of interest in my head, and I've always stuck with it.
Do you know any lawyers, you know, do you have any close relationships with anyone that is a lawyer?
Not necessarily, but I have met some people. I've met Jacqueline Romero, who's, like, the ADA of, like, it's like a Assistant United States Attorney mm-hmm. Office. I've went down there. I've met I've spoken, like, to FBI agents. I've spoken, you know, a lot of...
Down at 6th Street, 6th and Market.
Yeah,
that's where
so.
The federal
yeah,
building.
I've spoken to a lot of, you know, around, like, criminal justice.
And I think you went and Judge Restrepo. I
wasn't on that trip.
Oh, you weren't? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you...
Where
Yankees,
are you most?
The Yankees,
the Yankees
guys.
Guy.
So I don't know. We'll disregard that.
Well, so you started, Jacob... on the mock trial, just you've been on it for 1 year.
Yeah,
I've been. How has it influenced you? And not, you know, first of all, what year of school are you in?
I'm in my last senior.
You're a senior.
Yeah.
Okay, so has it influenced your career choices? Do you have, and if not, you think it has benefited you in an area where, you know, it'll help you with the direction you do go?
Well, right now I'm kind of thinking like just, you know, I'm just still trying to figure it out. Right now, I really want to do trade school. That's another thing.
Okay.
I like putting things together, which is the welding thing. I like putting things together. Okay. That's just me. The idea is to, like, you know, have enough money to raise so then I could do, like, law and all that. And I, like, that's the idea for now.
By the way, that's a great plan.
It's really ambitious because the fact that you understand trades and you know what it is actually like to make a living, you're going to be a very interesting candidate for law school.
But even if you don't...
I mean that. I wasn't joking around there. At some point, I'll say something that isn't a joke. That's actually serious.
Growing up, I was a laborer. I did a lot of working in the field. And at my fork in the road, it was law school or starting up a mechanic. I was going to be a mechanic after I went through a lot of the laborer work. But what we would do, you know, we put things together. At the end of the day, we would see, you know, we tore out an apartment and we redid it or we would just build. And I love that. As an attorney, it's the same thing. You're building cases and you're putting things together. So it's very similar in that manner. Very similar.
And what's interesting about it, okay, first of all, the skills that you're learning, okay, communication skills and, you know, performing skills, okay? You're performing as an attorney, Jimmy, you go to court, okay, you have to prepare that individual, and it could be stressful.
Very stressful.
Talk about how this experience that Jacob is having as a witness on a mock trial team could, benefit somebody, you know, if they had to do it in real life.
Completely, because you know that as a witness that you're getting trained, you have to tell your story. And you have to tell that story in a certain way that it reaches the jury. And when you've had that experience yourself, you're going to be better able to prepare your witnesses when you do become a lawyer. And it's really all about telling a story. And that's why, like Dr. Grocer, he's so important because he's part of telling the story, at least in the cases that I have with injury. I think, you know, the witness you played wasn't that case. It was more of a criminal case. But still, it goes in the same, you know, light. You really just have to tell your story. And you have to be able to focus in on what you need to get done. So that's why it goes back to you wanting to work with your hands. You need to know where you need to go, and you have to go from point A to Z. How do you get there in the best and most efficient way? That's the same thing with putting on a case.
I want to add something else. Just the idea of having structure in your life, getting up early, showing up on time to work, putting in a full day, coming home, getting some sleep. When you get a structure in your life, it's going to help you. When you go into the law, there are many areas where you have to have extreme structure. You have deadlines, statutes. You've got to be there on time. Your clients are there. You've got to be there on time. So the fact that you're working in the trades will teach you the structure, the discipline that will help you through your whole life.
But it's interesting, the pathway you're talking about. First of all, working with your hands. Okay, first of all, let's just say you decided to take an apprenticeship, okay? Well, at the end of the four-year apprenticeship or whatever it was, you know how much debt you have, right? None. They call it, what do they call it? Earn to learn, okay? So, and we do broadcasts. By the way, Dr. Grossinger treats a lot of the building trades people, okay? And Jimmy and Sonny have represented those clients. Either way, you're in the... And let's just say you never go into law. Maybe you start a construction career that's really successful and you're just happy doing that. Well, when you get injured, if you do, or somebody on your job, because somebody is, if you work a long career in construction, somebody's going to, you know, pull a back out. You're now going to know individuals and learning your rights, because the first thing I said on this broadcast was, You go out there, you go to work for a living, and now all of a sudden you get injured. You have workers' comp, or somebody runs through a light and hits you. Okay, you know, they T-bone your car, right? Well, let me tell you something. You should just be able to call the insurance company up and say, listen, I'm badly hurt, or a family member is. Guess what?
That's right, yeah.
They'll fight you to the death. Okay, and so many good people, like the people in this room, have tried to fight that. You know, just get their rights, exercise their rights, and if they, you'll know that going in, you'll know both sides of this.
The biggest thing that I like to tell my clients is that what really the fight comes down to is whether or not there was negligence. Really, most of the time, is to what extent are you injured. And the insurance companies, these multi-billion-dollar corporations, are picking on these individuals that don't have the multi-billion dollars in their bank account, and saying you weren't that injured. They're going to throw very good attorneys to defend the insurance companies. They pay them a lot of money. They have a lot of resources. So the courtroom is the only place where an individual can battle a multi-billion-dollar corporation. And that's when we, Sonny Banks comes along, I come along, and we have people like Dr. Grossinger, and we advocate for our injured individuals. We have to tell their story and say, this is a major impact. It's not just a back injury, right? It's more than a back injury. I won't get into the medical terms, but it's a back injury that prevents them from waking up and going to work. It's a back injury that prevents them from taking a walk with their wife in the park. It's a back injury that prevents them from picking up their kids or going out and playing soccer with them. That is a huge impact on someone's life. But these multi-billion dollar corporations will come and say, hey, look, it's a back injury. It's nothing. You know, here's a couple bucks, go away. And that's why it's so important to have someone advocate for you, because these multi-billion dollar corporations have an army of attorneys that are advocating for them. And then we have a doc that will go and get to know you and ask the right questions. You need a doctor that doesn't just go in and go through a template. They really want to meet you, get to know you, and learn about you, and tell us also from the medical end why it's impacting your life the way it is.
And one of the most important things about getting representation is there are a fleet of doctors who basically just work on this insurance side of things. They usually spend maybe 15 minutes with somebody. So I might treat somebody for 2 years who's injured at work, represented by Banks Law. They may send him to a guy who might lay hands on them for like a minute, glance at their records and say, you're totally normal or you're faking it. And they will actually go to court and say that. And so that's what we're up against. We're up against a multi-billion dollar monolith called the insurance industry. And there are doctors out there who can't sustain regular practices. So they just line them up. They line them up like dogs and they run them through every 15 minutes. And I've never seen fit to engage in that activity, but this is real life stuff, and you're hearing some stuff that really happens.
It's really weird how that, in my opinion, grown adults, doctors, will work for an insurance company. Like what Doc just said, in our terms, is this: somebody gets injured, your family member, could be when you get older, your child or a brother, sister, cousin, whatever, they get injured on the job. They're treating with they finally they get good treatment. The whole thing got good. All of a sudden, the insurance company calls in and says, we want to do an independent medical review exam. You walk in, the doctor looks over at somebody for 3 minutes and says, yeah, you're fine. Then they write a note and says, and their evaluation is you're fine. And then they stop your benefits.
Imagine this. Imagine you have a back problem. You got sciatica. You can't sleep. You can't even walk. And there's somebody there. A doctor and an insurance company tried to strip you of your medical benefits, saying that you're fine, or maybe you're just faking it. So that happens literally every day. I mean, you become hard and you become cynical, but it's my job to leap over there and bring the truth to a workers' comp judge and work with somebody who could advocate. All we're trying to do is get at the truth. When you fight with the truth, that's the most powerful tool you have.
I was just going to add, the reason why the IME doctors do it is because it's so lucrative. First of all, there's no doctor-patient relationship established when you see an IME doctor, so there's no issue of the doctor committing medical malpractice. And the fees that the insurance companies are paying these doctors to do the exam and then to testify on behalf of the carrier, it's thousands of dollars. I mean, these doctors can easily make $1 million just a year, just in doing.
And they don't incur any liability
right.
at all. They don't have to lay their hands really on anybody. And basically, it's just like they could just mail it in.
So
just like in sports, some people just mail it in.
Sure.
So let's do this. Let's take a quick break. First, Jacob, we really appreciate you being on. What are your plans? Have you started any inroads for what you're going to be doing next year?
I've applied to the trade school that give me my welding. It's actually going to be like a one-on-one kind of thing, which I thought was pretty cool. It's like going to be like right. in my face teaching me.
So I'm your guy here. I'm not joking around.
Yeah.
I'm your guy. Okay. I'm going to sponsor you to get into the Ironworkers Union. We do all the welding. Okay. So you're not going anywhere after this year. I'm gonna give you your teacher contact information.
Him and his dad is a legend.
And Joseph
Dougherty Sr., Joseph Dougherty Jr. This guy, you're gonna go under his wing. You're gonna learn how to do welding. You want to hear something interesting? We had one of your Philadelphia students. There's a thing called underwater welding. He's going into the Navy. Underwater welding. Guess what the starting salary is for an underwater welder? You're not gonna believe this. $200,000. So you'll remember that, won't you?
and by the way, these buildings right here, okay, so we teach welding at apprentice school and all those things. We're going to talk. We're going to have more from our Spark of the Dream initiative in our broadcast on WWDB Talk 860. We want to thank Jacob Jeanette for being on the program, and we're going to bring in William Ortiz in just a minute. We'll have more for you after the break.
Standing at the edge of a rocky shore, you breathe in the cool, salty air, watching the sun disappear on the horizon. Across the globe, someone begins their day along a sandy beach, listening to the rhythm of the crashing waves. You each envision a world beneath the water, vibrant life in every imaginable form. Now, imagine it's all gone. What was once a place of wonder and beauty is now a dull, lifeless wasteland. Food, jobs, medicine, all gifts from the ocean, all gone. Time is running out to protect our oceans. And without our love, everything the oceans provide can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our oceans. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to our Spark in the Dream special here on WWDB Talk 860. Lots of great conversation. I want to thank Dr. Bruce Grossinger, Jimmy Chong, and Sonny Banks for being on the broadcast. Jacob Jeanette is sneaking out, but he's not going anywhere. we want to bring in William Ortiz to the broadcast. How are you, pal?
Good. How are you?
It's great. It's great to have you back on the program. I just said that about Jacob since he walked out. You were the one that got us the ratings last year. but anyway, it's great to have you. What got you into, first of all, you're a student at Lincoln High School, correct? What year are you in?
I'm in 11th grade. I'm a junior year.
Okay. What got you into mock trial, and when did you get in?
What got me in mock trial was actually last year. I had to give a paper recommendation to enter.
Yeah.
From actually, for my teacher signed a paper recommendation to enter.
Wow.
Because I used to always like, basically when lawyers fight, like I would always like my mom was like,
"You're a good debater."
I'm a debater. Yeah.
Never lose an argument.
Yeah.
Oh, in my house, you win an argument. It's a miracle.
Right. Well, in mine too, when it's only me and my wife, so I'm she's undefeated. But what is your favorite part of mock trial?
My favorite part of mock trial was doing a witness. I played as Pookie Thomas for the case of at Booker versus Commonwealth.
Okay, and what did you enjoy most about it?
What I enjoyed most about it was explaining of the conversation and like, because basically, in the paper Booker and some guy named Pseudo for the case was close and I'll me for my character, I had to explain, like, what was going on, because basically I was at a cafe during the time when they were saying everything. So I was basically paying attention.
Was it nerve-wracking?
It was nerve-wracking, like, them coming up to you, like, okay, sir, did you do this, is this? And I'm like...
Yeah, right. Yeah, and it's a mock trial.
Right.
Can you... let me go to our attorneys, and I'll ask Jimmy, what the real-life drama in a courtroom, okay, when the witness, because you could see, you know, William's talking about, you know, his experience as a witness in mock trial, and that, I can imagine, is nerve-wracking. But when, you know, when you're dealing with witnesses and you are, you know, and maybe it's the injured individual themselves or a witness to it, I know, like Bruce said, the truth is paramount, but still preparing individuals. Talk about the process of preparing a witness, number one, the real life process, and then number two, how dramatic it can be in the courtroom.
Oh yeah, that's a great question. And to prepare a witness, it's depends on the individual. It can take anywhere from, you know, an hour or two to several days, because a lot of the things, like you said, it's nerve-wracking to be on the stand, having a judge right next to you, a court reporter taking down every word, and having a... So there's two... you get cross-examined or direct examined. So my clients, I'll direct examine them, and I just throw them up questions where they can answer freely, tell what's going on, and then the opposing counsel will come up and cross-examine you, and they will try to pick apart your story. And as long as you're truthful, consistent, then it comes across to a jury. So the jury's sitting there, they're watching how the attorney asks a question and how the witness answers it. So there's so much riding on just being prepared. So the truth will, you know, set you free. The truth is the truth, but you have to be able to convey it in a way that is easy and simple for a jury to understand. When it gets so convoluted, there's so many things going on. If it's hard for you to verbalize it, it's going to be hard for the jury to understand it. So I always tell my clients and you know, my fact witnesses every word you say, it's like a painting. You're starting with a blank sheet, and you want the jury to hear it and to start painting that picture. And you have to go through every step, because if you skip, you know, from A to F without filling it in, there's going to be so many gaps. The jury isn't going to see the whole picture.
Do you prepare the, when you call witnesses for a case, not just the actual individual, the victim, mm-hmm. Do you prepare all the witnesses that are going to representing your side?
Well, it depends on.
Because I did. I gave them all $100 cash. I'm like, listen, if you say this, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Of course,
it depends, right? So I usually will just ask, you know, if it's a witness to an accident or to an incident that caused injury, I just ask them what happens, and then I can't prepare because they're telling me what happened. But if it's a family member saying, this is how it's impacted our life, this is what it's done to him or her, this is where it's really causing us pain in our lives as a family, I will prepare them in not what to say, but in how to say it in a way that will be
bring clarity to it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Bring clarity. Because, you know, everyone knows when you just put someone on the spot, they know the truth, but it's hard for them to get it out. So it's really just practicing.
Sonny, in workers' compensation, so you're not dealing with a jury. But
no, and most of my witnesses are actually the injured individual or the victim of the accident, as opposed to lay witnesses. And what I try to stress is to relax. I know you've never done this before, but this is your opportunity to tell the judge how your injury happened and how this injury disables you from work. Unlike Jimmy, I don't have to really prove fault or negligence, because workers' compensation in Pennsylvania is a no-fault statute. You're entitled to workers' compensation benefits if you can prove that you were injured at work or injured in the course and scope of your employment. And then I can focus on how the injury itself prevents my client from working.
So, William, what are your plans? This experience that you've had, okay, on mock trial, and when did you get into mock trial? Just this year?
This year.
Okay. How has it impacted you in regards to your future? Do you have any idea of what your life goals are at this point yet? How about not your life goals? You're a junior in high school. But education-wise and career-wise, because, by the way, that could change in 15 minutes. But just, you know, based upon your experience with the mock trial, are you thinking about going into the law, or is there a bigger picture?
I mean, first I was going to law, but then I wanted to be a U.S. Marshal as well. So it's like, it's in the mix.
Mm-hmm. So, by the way, it's still part of the law.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you do law school to become a U.S. Marshal, too. Right,
right. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's definitely a path. What do you think of the team concept? You know, we talk about the training and all that. And if you were talking to a friend, okay, and they said, well, what's mock trial like? You know, talk about how those, because I know, like, you know, you go to baseball practice, football practice, it's, you know, it's pretty easy to describe. But how would you describe preparation, you know, for a competition?
I would say for, like, preparation, like, it's kind of like, it's going to, like, basically, it's basically all mental. Like, you, like, from, like, my favorite baseball player from Yankees, Yogi Berra, it ain't over till it's over.
Right, that's what we were just talking about. That's right.
It ain't over till it's over, so just.
Have you done every role? Like, in other words, you've been a witness. Have you tried the attorney role yet?
No, not yet. I'm probably going to try it next year.
Yeah. And do you have any, is there any movies, legal movies? Like, I have one that I can think of off the top of my, a couple of them. But is there any movies about, that have, that feature the law in it that you're drawn to? I'll give you a hint. My Cousin Vinny. Have you ever seen? And then
great movie.
And then here's a big line: "You can't handle the truth." that's A Few Good Men.
Right.
I often think about A Few Good Men in the pandemic. Could you imagine Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise with the masks on?
I think they're a little young for those movies.
Right.
I don't know.
But look them up. So let's talk about. You know, the camaraderie and your teammates with the experience. Talk about that. Is it fun being with your classmates? Is it the camaraderie and then actually competing?
It's actually kind of fun being with your friends because, you know, you could goof off, but, like, when you get in the court, like, that's when all goof, everything has to be out the window.
Right. Well, you know, it's definitely, you know, I always say this when you're competing, it's a stiff competition, right?
It's just like playing in a baseball game. It's like the competition rises higher,
mm-hmm.
and it probably gets. I'll ask the attorneys, what is, you know, you did a deposition today, Sonny and Jimmy, I know, and Bruce, you guys are obviously representing your clients all day long. However, what is that courtroom experience like? Sonny, you're a huge baseball guy. Jimmy, you love baseball. We all love sports here. Dr. Bruce Grossinger does the post-game show for the Eagles. My question is, what's it – we can sit here and talk about it all we want, but what's it like on the eve of the trial, number one? And is it like a game day experience?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, both sides are obviously competitive, and they want to win. And I think that preparation is the most important thing that you can do. That gives you a leg up. And focus on the primary issue that you know will allow you to succeed, as opposed to all of these ancillary things, that the other side is going to try and get you involved in, so that you get lost in the weeds.
When you're in front of the judge and you're maybe deposing your client. Do you depose anybody on the defense? I guess doctors, medical provider. In other words, what's that like from a work comp standpoint?
Well, both sides present medical evidence. So, you know, when I present my doctor, then obviously I'm presenting direct testimony, trying to elicit from the doctor causation and disability. And then when the other side presents their physician, I'm able to cross-examine them on the circumstances of the IME, what they did and did not do, and their ultimate conclusion that my client is fully recovered.
In your world, Jimmy, you are in front of a jury sometimes. Is it like game day? Completely
like game day. And you have your teammates, you have your client who's a teammate, you have the doctor witness who's a teammate, you have your, you know, paralegal, any other attorneys, depending on the case, if you're working with other attorneys. And it is, you get pumped up. You have to get in that mental frame mind, just like playing sports. You know, when, you know, you're in the court and you have, you know, your direct questioning, and then the opposing counsel comes up to do your cross questioning, and then when you go to closing, you try to pick apart kind of their theory and present your theory. It really gets you pumped up. And it, you know, growing up, I played a lot of sports, and I get that same feeling when I go into a courtroom. I get so impassioned, and it's great, and it keeps you going, and that's why I love what I do. And it's really, you're helping an individual fight they're fighting these multi-billion dollar corporations that just want to step all over individuals, and we don't let that happen.
Okay, and you know, before we go, because I'd like to, what are your friends, William, what do they say about the ones that aren't on mock trial? Okay, you know, and your family, what do they think of it?
My mom thinks of it like it's perfect for me because I love to argue.
Right, and you love to win. Well, you'd be good. You'd be. You're in 2 years. You know, you talked about wanting to be a U.S. Marshal. There's a number of roads to that, and education, obviously. Do you have any idea? Right now, you know, obviously your education and your grades and all that, they all count. But what's it going to look like next year, your senior year? Like Jacob's getting ready for, you know, what his career is right now. Talk about what your goals are education-wise.
For when I graduate, I will head to college and then take up at least a minimum 1 or 2 year break, then apply for law school.
Okay, all right, fantastic. Well, you have some great resources, staring you in the face right here. And by the way, I have a feeling you're going to be back on the program next year, Dr. Bruce Grosser. I want to ask you one quick question. I know you're a part of us. What the importance of sometimes going outside of your comfort zone? Okay, and guys, I want you to think about this for a second, because William, the first time you get up there on that on the stand and you're a witness and all that, and like you said, it can get nerve wracking, but sometimes the way to get out of to expand your horizons is to get out of your comfort zone and do things like that. Talk about that, Doc.
Yeah, well, believe it or not, when I was in high school, I was shy to speak out loud. You could believe that. I was just nervous to have people call on me. And it becomes practice. And then I went, obviously to college. And now just it becomes habit where I could interview Baker Mayfield or Jalen Hurts or anybody. And I feel confident in myself. So I think the fact that you're going through the reps, you're getting reps on the air here, talking to professionals. Also, you wanting to be a lawyer, these people love to have interns, okay? The fact that you could work under the auspices of somebody you already know, and you can help them out. So I also advise you to check out different branches of the law, be an intern, be an apprentice, learn from somebody above you, because the fact that you're interested in doing that, especially when it comes to applying to college, law school, as in college you could have almost any degree, and you can still apply to law school. So follow your passion. My daughter is going to be a doctor. She's a classics major at Penn. She's Greek, Latin, and she did all that in high school. And now she did the basic requirements for science, but she loves it. Penn's got a great classics department. So follow your passion. Get into a good school. Get good grades. But also work under people like Mr. Banks and Mr. Chong, because they would love to have you. Guys are very impressive. And again, when I was your age, I wouldn't have volunteered for this. I would have been too shy. And that's actually very true.
Sonny Banks, close out words.
Yeah, I'm just going to add to that I went to law school with accountants, engineers, doctors, all kinds of folks. So you don't necessarily, need a legal, degree in college in order to go to law school. So you can jump into law school following any college degree.
Jimmy Chong, final words, my friend?
Just to piggyback on everyone saying, you know, and really what Joe's saying, go outside your comfort zone. If you stay within your comfort zone, you're not going to grow. You have to expose yourself to other things, the things you don't know. You have to take those risks.
Being nervous, it doesn't, you know, like, mm-hmm. I mean, like, you might be nervous now. It doesn't matter. This is a notch on your, you know, you've done this a couple of times. That's how you're expanding.
Yep.
And so that's what it's about. Listen, I want to thank everybody for joining us on part one of our Sparking the Dream special here at Banks Law. I want to thank Dr. Bruce Grossinger. Of course, I want to thank attorney Jimmy Chong from the Chong Law Firm. And, of course, Sonny Banks from the Banks Law Firm for not only being on the broadcast, but being you know, a great host. Of course, Rachel Newman, teacher and a mock trial coach at Lincoln High School, and Lincoln High School students and mock trial team members, Jacob Jeanette and William Ortiz. Any shout-outs before you go, William?
Well, shout-out to the people, the lawyers, the judges, the U.S. Marshals that come every day to fight for the right cause, to help people out. Like, then shout-out my mom for helping me get on here.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. That's a hell of a way to end the show.
Sure is.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time, everybody.